In our recent vacation Bible school, which I think we would all say was well planned, well coordinated, and well carried out, we had the opportunity to study some valuable lessons, and through our study of those lessons, they made an impression upon us for which we are grateful. We had a lesson early in vacation Bible school that focused upon people around Jesus with the topic of teamwork. And it is suggested by a keynote passage of those four men of faith that brought their friend, the paralytic, to Jesus. That took teamwork, and they worked together and worked with perseverance. And out of great love for their friend and by their faith in what Jesus could do for him. And we began with that passage. And then in our adult class, we shifted our attention to the apostles and the influence that Jesus had upon them in developing those men as a special group of co-workers who would serve his mission to the world and carrying the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. The Great Commission, which is found near the end of Mark's gospel book, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. We presented complete lessons in our adult class and auditorium, and the lesson we presented that night concerning teamwork based on the gospel of Mark was a complete lesson. But there was much, much more that could be said, and I wanted to say a few of those things tonight about what it means to follow Jesus and to be trained to serve by him and the influence that he should have upon our lives as his disciples. The disciples of Jesus, as we see in the Gospel of Mark and the other gospel books for that matter, had opportunity to learn simply by being with Jesus. They were in proximity to him, and that's what he wanted. As we learn from Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, he called those 12 men and that they might be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. The emphasis upon this sending forth to preach is given such attention that the first part of what Jesus intended there is sometimes neglected. That first of all, these men must be with him. And in being with him in that close association, they would learn much. Let me just mention some things quickly that they learned, which we also learned by our studying of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They learned that Jesus is a teacher, and he gave a very strong emphasis to that, teaching people the Word of God. Because of his extraordinary works and the miraculous category, and because of his death, burial, and resurrection, it's possible that the emphasis on teaching may sometimes be put in the shadows, but not if a person is really attentive to the Lord's work and follows his ministry. One can see immediately that Jesus emphasized teaching. For instance, in chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus going out to a place to pray after a day of some teaching and miracles is approached by disciples telling him how the people there in Capernaum are looking for him. And Jesus said, let's go to the other towns and there preach, because for this purpose came I forth. Mark 1, verse 38. And he did that. He went out to other towns, villages, and there in their synagogues and elsewhere, preaching and casting out demons. Of course, you'll remember that later in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is said to have come for another purpose too. But here early, Jesus said that he came in order to preach. He's came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, as we know from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, telling the people that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. In chapter 2 and verse 13, Jesus went out by the seaside. Multitudes came to him and he taught them. And many times in the gospel of Mark, that kind of expression is found that tells us what Jesus was doing. His main activity was that of teaching. And then another thing that these men learned in being with Jesus is his manner of dealing with people. And that means not only his methods in dealing with groups of people, sometimes even crowds of people, but also individuals. And there's much to learn from that. We as disciples of Jesus who wish to serve him would help ourselves a great deal to have more confidence and know-how in going about that service by studying the way Jesus treated people. How did he deal with individuals? What was he attentive to about those individuals? Certainly, we're aware of the fact that we cannot know the hearts of people as he could. but Jesus's manner of treating them is quite informative of what he would want us to do in representing him. And there's much to learn there. That's a whole field of study about how Jesus dealt with people. And we would benefit greatly, as I say, by studying that more. These men learned about Jesus's authority in association with him, and this would give them confidence in their own work in serving the Lord, and they would seek through their teaching and influence to instill that confidence in all the disciples of Christ, as we can see in the book of Acts. This was an early lesson. When Jesus had called the four fishermen and they went into Capernaum to the synagogue, and people there were astonished at his authority in two ways: his authority in his teaching, and then his authority over the demons, that the demons even obeyed him, and that he had such authority. So the one whom we serve and follow comes with heavenly authority, both in his words and in his works. And we ought never to forget that. And now he is at the right hand of God, continuing his work and continuing it through us. They learned something else about Jesus, another early lesson that God, that Mark wants us to know about. It dates at least from Mark chapter 2 and verse 6 and following in that house in Capernaum. They learned that Jesus is a controversial person. And I use that word deliberately. As I've mentioned before, long ago, we live in a society that has taken certain words and made labels out of them to serve political and social purposes. And controversial is one of those words. And so there are those in positions of influence, especially in the media, that will use the word controversial as a label to place upon other individuals whom they want to hold in a category of being suspect or someone that is not to be trusted. Controversial, of course, doesn't have that meaning, basically. It just means that there's some opposition, that there's not complete agreement. And Jesus certainly had much opposition, and there were many who were not in agreement with much of what he said and what he did. And the disciples learned that early. And that's still true about Jesus. He is still a controversial figure. And in his teaching, he was often controversial in deliberately challenging things around him, both in practice and in teaching, that needed to be challenged for the purpose of serving God and for the good of the people. And so we have some episodes like that in the Gospel of Mark and in the other Gospel books. They learned, too, about Jesus's character and their association with him. And they had a special opportunity to learn about that because they were able to be with him day and night over a period of about 3 years. Not all the time during that 3 years, but during most of that time, they were with him on a constant basis. And that gave them that close association in which they could see him under all circumstances, both privately and publicly, and in the various things that would come to anybody's life to bring some difficulty, frustration, possibility of even exasperation, obstacles to be encountered, minor and major problems. Jesus would have experienced all those things in his life and work. How did he deal with those things? Those men got a close-up experience in learning about the character of Jesus and his ways. And there's certain things that stand out about him that come to our attention through these four gospel books. One would be his certainty about himself and what he's doing. There's never any self-doubting about Jesus. Never an expression of such in him, whereas that it does happen in our lives. There are times that we encounter things that may make us wonder. Sometimes that's healthy for us, good for us to have that, because we're certainly not perfect, and to make reconsiderations. Jesus never had to reconsider anything about himself or about what he's doing. That's extraordinary. And it's unique that he had no need to. Whereas there may be some figures in history that had such arrogance about themselves that they didn't engage in any reconsideration, there's the difference that they needed to. But Jesus had no need to because of his perfection and to his confidence in all that he did, no matter what came up. I briefly mentioned this in our lesson the other night, but if you read the gospel books, you see Jesus in the record there in all kinds of situations, but you will never see him at a loss about what's he supposed to do, as if he's lost control of a situation and doesn't know what his next step is going to be. There's complete confidence in Jesus all the time, and his wisdom. And if you read the gospel books closely, you'll see this many, many times brought to your attention. For instance, when he goes back to his hometown in Nazareth, Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, there's a brief account of that. And Jesus encounters there opposition almost immediately in the synagogue, and they're wondering about this hometown boy, now man, where did he get this wisdom? And they're not favorable in that expression about him and these works that they hear about that he's doing, and that Jesus had this wisdom and people knew it. That was the report that had come to Nazareth, and they could hear that, some measure of it themselves, what they were willing to hear, but they were not receptive to it. But his wisdom was not only expressed in his teaching, it was a wisdom in his ways. And so you read in that same episode there in verses 5 and 6, and he could there do no mighty work except that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Well, those are mighty works, that he performed some healings there. And he marveled because of their unbelief at the greatness of this unbelief, and in his hometown, regardless of what they have heard and seen and what they know about his past life, which would have caused no stumbling block to their faith morally or religiously or spiritually, but certainly the possibility of a stumbling block because of their familiarity. This is one of us. How could one of us be this person with this wisdom and these works? The wisdom that he demonstrates here in action is that Jesus did not press the matter. And that's something to be considered there. What he was seeking to do was to bring people to faith, to bring them closer to God through his ministry, to bring them to faith in himself. And there's a way to do that. It's by the teaching that he does. The signs are confirmatory of the divine origin of that teaching and the God's authentication of him and his authority to speak. But if people are resistant to that, resistant to God's mission through Christ, resistant to the word, there is a lack of opportunity to expand the ministry and to do very much in that place. Our missionaries face that all the time in the field. And it's just wisdom, because of the limitation of time, resources, and opportunity, that this effort is not pressed where there is no reception to it, or where the reception is very poor. And in Nazareth, it was very poor. There was much resistance, and Jesus did not press the matter. In his pity, he healed some sick people. He taught there, but that was all. And he left Nazareth and went elsewhere. This character of Christ, of course, is one of love and pity for people, and this comes through in so many ways in the gospel books. Mark speaks of Jesus confronting a multitude, Mark 6 and 34. Mark 6 and 34, and he had compassion on them, saw them as sheep that did not have a shepherd, and he began to teach them. And notice this, many things. They had long been without a spiritual shepherd. There's so much they needed to hear and learn. And here was this opportunity, which he did not have in Nazareth, where people are willing to listen and to learn. And he taught them many things. And what is the motivation for this teaching here? The emphasis is upon pity, his compassion for them. They need to hear these truths. In Jesus, there is a strength and consistency of his character, and the disciples would have seen that. Otherwise, they would have known him to be just like all other men. But in Jesus, from day to day, and day after day, and year after year, in all circumstances, all kinds of situations, dealing with all kinds of people, here's this consistency of his strong character in his relationship with God. And then, of course, his supernatural power. And all four of the gospel writers bring that to our attention and how our Lord used that power to serve the cause of his ministry. So the disciples learned by being with Jesus, by listening and observing. And these are some of the things they learned. They also learned by fulfilling work that he gave them to do. Chapter 6 and verse 7, he called to him the 12 and he began to send them forth two and two. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits and he charged them that they should take nothing for their journey and so forth. And so they went out on this mission and they went out and they preached, verse 12, that men should repent. And they anointed people with oil and healed the sick and cast out demons. And they came back to him. They made a report of all the things that they were able to do in his service. And he told them to come aside to some place where they could rest and be away from the crowds because people were constantly coming and going. The ministry of Christ had been expanded through the work of these men. He was responsible for that. He chose them, he trained them, he taught them, and he empowered them, and they learned by their experience in following Christ and doing the work he gave them to do. They also learned in their association with Jesus their need to grow spiritually. Now, when I speak of what these men are learning and how they learned, we can, of course, be attentive to the fact that in some of these ways, we also can learn. We can't walk with Jesus during his ministry on earth. That was not our opportunity, and that's long in the past. But we can read about his ministry on earth and how they learned, and we can learn what they learned through these words that guide our thoughts and our lives. And we can learn by fulfilling work that we have to do in his service. And we can also learn in association with Christ our need to grow spiritually. In chapter 6, verses 45 through 52, you have the account of Jesus walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night. And these disciples in the boat are frustrated by the wind that's keeping them from making it to the other shore. They're terrified when they see what they think to be a ghost. But this apparition speaks to them, encourages them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he comes into the boat. But the Bible says of those men that they were amazed, all right, but they understood not concerning the loaves, but their heart was hardened, verse 52. In other words, there was something they should have learned about Jesus when they witnessed the miracle of feeding of the 5,000, plus the women and the children. But instead of learning that, their hearts were hardened. Now, Mark's not talking about a hardness in persistence in sin, a stubborn rebellion against God, a desire to sin instead of doing God's will. He's talking about a hardness of heart here because of pre-existent conceptions and ideas that were in them that should have been overcome by following Jesus, both his teaching and his works. By this time, that should have begun to break down. But this shows how old conceptions can persist in people, in others, and in ourselves, and how these things can be overcome if we will pay attention to Christ, to his teaching and his ways, and learn from him. And one thing that's learned here is the need to grow spiritually. We will not grow if we do not have the humility that sees the need for that. But these men are learning. So we follow it further in the book, and we come to chapter 8 and verses 14 and following. And they forget to take bread, and Jesus uses this opportunity in the boat to tell them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And these men are talking among themselves, and they don't understand. And they're wondering about this matter of bread. We forgot to bring bread. And Jesus reproves them for this. They don't perceive. They don't understand the way he's speaking to them. By now, they should know. Here's the great teacher of parables. And outside the parables, he often used figures of speech to teach spiritual lessons, and they should perceive this. But there's still this problem of the hardening of their heart. They need to open up their hearts to listen to Jesus and the way he teaches, and they'll learn more. And that's still true for us. The more we study, the more we can understand about the way Christ spoke and how he leads people to see truth. But if we don't study, we'll encounter the same problem of being unfamiliar with this kind of speech of Christ. Christ said on one occasion, found in John chapter 8, that this was a difficulty that his opponents and others had in hearing and understanding his teaching. They weren't paying attention. He was speaking to them in a way that they needed to follow very closely. He wasn't being difficult, but they needed to learn how he was speaking to them, and they needed to be open to receiving truth that might go against some notions that they've had in the past and continue to hold, some of their traditions and other ideas. Now, Jesus in this book has recorded some three particular occasions of telling these men that he was going to Jerusalem to be rejected and suffer and die and rise from the dead. In connection with all three of those times that Jesus told his disciples this, there was something that was said by the disciples or done by the disciples that showed their need to grow spiritually. While he is going to give himself to that humiliation of rejection and suffering, and then the victory of resurrection, these men are concerned about why that shouldn't happen. It goes against their notions of greatness, or they're concerned about their own greatness and who's first among the disciples. And they argue about this. And so all three times, Jesus seeks to correct their thinking to help them grow spiritually. And even at the end, Jesus tells them that they will be offended in him. And they all say, no, that's not going to happen. And Peter is especially vehement about it, that this will not happen. And all of them join Peter in this and say the same thing. Mark 14, verse 31. Of course, you know what happened in the garden. They all left him and fled. And Peter denied him later in the night. But Jesus had foretold that, and that too indicated their weakness and need to grow spiritually. Now, another way that these men learned in following Jesus is that they learned by what they came to see as the gospel truth about his presence in this world and his mission and how he fulfilled it. I said earlier that he spoke of another reason that he came. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark 10, verse 45. He came to preach and he came to die as a ransom for our redemption from sin. And he fulfilled that mission. And then these men had their eyes opened. After the resurrection, they were then able to look back, and further by the guiding instruction of the Spirit, to understand better and correctly what Jesus had been saying all along. And they learned from that. And it's an impressive lesson to compare the gospel books and what you read about these men there and their need for spiritual growth and their weaknesses, their misunderstandings, and even their arguing among themselves about who's number one. And then you come into the book of Acts after his resurrection from the dead, and it's a different day in their hearts, in their lives, and in their service. They have learned by Jesus's fulfillment of his own mission from God. So Jesus has trained them, and they are his disciples, and they have learned how they are to represent him into the world when they go out and preach the gospel to the whole creation. There is room in Jesus's service for every one of us who are willing to learn as these men were, to follow him and to submit our lives to his direction and to the influence of his example, and especially to the power of his gospel. And if you would respond to his gospel invitation tonight, we bid you come as we stand and sing.